Hello, everyone. Greetings from the Emerald Isle, the land of saints and scholars, apparently. But yeah, I think maybe changed in recent years. I think did Jill leave you those clothes out for you this morning? Were they on the bed for you to put on? Yeah. Shorts. Yeah. Anyway, it's been a pleasure and a privilege working part time with our 4TFM since August last year. It has been slow, as Roger said. I think the problem we've come up against is probably the two most evangelistic dioceses in Ireland, Durrand Dromore, where I'm based, and then Derry and Raphoe, have had years of mission in the last 3 years. So churches have done a lot of missions, or churches most likely to do missions have actually done them in the last 3 years. So hence, you know, we've pushed a few doors, but nothing's really opened as yet. But I'm just going to touch on a few things that we have done. Hopefully this will work for me. Yes, started in August, and I did these Irish Ploughing Championships. It's the largest agricultural show in Europe. Over the 3 days of the show, I think there's well over 300,000 people actually attend. So it's a massive event. We have one in Northern Ireland, the Ulster Agricultural Show, but it's nothing like this. You look down the sort of walkways, just seas of people at this event that come from all parts of the country, and hence they usually have it in a location right in the centre of Ireland. But this was last September. So working with the Irish Evangelistic Band, which is a group of guys and ladies who have been doing evangelism for a number of years, mostly from Baptist backgrounds, and Operation Mobilisation Ireland as well. They have all their interns, etc., which come from all over the world, which is fantastic. And also they've got sending churches from the States, and there's maybe a group of about 10 came from Georgia to come and work on the Ploughing Championships as well. So had quite a crowd of people. You can just maybe see in the background of that slide, we had this marquee where we gave away free tea and coffee under the banner of the Calvin Christian Bookshop, which is run by the Irish Evangelistic Band. I'll say IEB for short from here on, because that's a bit of a mouthful. So the IEB run this in Cavan Town, which is just below, just south of the border. So people came in and we tried to engage people as they walked by. You can see there's plenty of these large tractors, very expensive things on show. And this is what people obviously came to look at. The first couple of days, this is just inside the tent at one of our morning briefings and prayer times. But the first day, weather was perfect. Weather was gorgeous, actually. Loads of people. We could stand outside very nicely. Day two, I think we've got a slide. The weather did change somewhat. We had typical Irish weather, and as you can see, it became an absolute quagmire with all those people. But it didn't dampen our spirits. It was just a bit more of a challenge to move around. The one where I'm sitting with a gentleman, that's obviously inside the tent, so the water just got walked in and the muck got walked in, and yeah. But we carried on regardless. Thank God I had decent footwear with me, as you can see. The picture in front of the tent, that's the sort of the crowd, all the guys involved at the end of the 3 days. But that stage we were very, very tired. The one with the three of us, one of them, the guy sort of not in the middle, I don't know if it's your left or right, let me just see. Yeah, on your left, you're right as you're looking at it. I should have crossed my fingers. He at one stage walked around. This is Jay from Georgia. And he walked around just observing what was going on. And he reported back that at one stage, when he was looking and watching and counting, there were 26 gospel conversations going on inside the tent, outside the tent. So the gospel message was really put out there, which was fantastic. A lot of people from Catholic backgrounds, obviously, we encountered, in fact, the vast majority. I think I maybe spoke to one or two Christians over the course of the whole event, which was nice and encouraging. But the vast majority never come across the person of Jesus, let's say. So Very sad in some ways, but fantastic opportunities, of course, in other ways. And then fast forward to this March, the week before Easter, some call it Holy Week. We did this was in association with New Wine Ireland. John, you know George Newell. He sort of headed up this mission, so asked me to come along as well. Working with a parish which is sort of formed by three or four, really now very small in terms of numbers, congregations. So all the events were very small, tiny numbers really coming to them. But in spite of that, there was still, I think we had 11 decisions to follow Jesus during that week, which was fantastic. But again, working in a very rural area, and again, the wider community being vast majority from a Catholic background. Stranorlar was the main base. Stranorlar Ballybuffet, known as the Twin Towns, and that's sort of a few miles around that. This was a Johnny Cash night, and it was lovely, this one, because we actually took it outside of any of the churches. This was on the local main shed, and we managed to find Johnny Cash. They talk about Elvis, you know, taking a break. Johnny Cash is alive and well and living in the northwest of Ireland. This guy is an old friend of mine from Christians Against Poverty, and he has this fantastic ministry, has developed this fantastic ministry. Tells the story of Johnny Cash, tells his own story as well. He sings Johnny Cash songs through it all, a lot of Johnny's gospel stuff, etc. So that was a fantastic night. This is another event we had where we had a local vet, one of our trained evangelists, talking about obviously animals and trying to draw in the farming community. And I'm just randomly standing in a graveyard for no good reason. And there's that dodgy guy, George Newell, you can see him. And that's sort of the mission team as well inside one of the churches just before we went out onto the streets in Ballybuffet one afternoon to give away Easter eggs, tracts, and have some really good conversations. And as Roger's touched on as well, what we're sort of working towards then is this, I think they have decided a name, Roger, haven't they? But I can't remember what it is. Ingoing, outgoing, incoming, ingathering? Would that be it? Gathering in. Yeah, not particularly catchy, but anyway. yeah, if anybody can remember it. So we're working towards that, obviously, for harvest time next September, October next year. So in the process of trying to get guys interested, get team members, etc., on board. So that's sort of the TFM side of my work over the last 10 months or so. The vast majority of my work has been with Seago Church in Portadown, and I work in an estate about a mile away from the church. The church actually has an old hall on the estate, which was a lovely idea at the time. It was a church plant whenever the estate was actually built during the 1950s. What we're left with there really is a fairly elderly congregation doing evening prayer, 6 o'clock on Sunday evenings. Maybe 20, 25 individuals come to that. So it's got no real relevance to the wider community in the area. Portadown, if anybody knows Portadown, it's probably the most evangelized area in the Western Hemisphere. There are churches absolutely everywhere. Even, it's not particularly a big estate, maybe 800 houses, but there's 3-4 churches in the area directly, but in the wider area, there's so many more as well. But it was one of the things that really struck me when I first got there was there's churches everywhere, but nobody's knocking their doors down on a Sunday morning to actually get in. In fact, the churches in the estate, the vast majority of people drive in from outside to actually come and worship on a Sunday morning. So there's obviously something wrong that we as a church are not connecting with people in the area. So I have sort of, it's been tough going because I've been there on my own. The church, I don't really know the sort of rationale behind wanting to do something fresh. I think it's come from a higher level and has been sort of semi-imposed on the church, but there's really been a lack of prayer support, a lack of people support, and it's been a case of, Jim, you're employed to do it, so just go do. So the first 6 months have been very, very difficult, but Thank God, we began to see things begin to turn in the last few months as we've got things developed. So we're on a Christians Against Poverty job club. The other thing I've sort of kicked off then, working with the other churches in the area, three other churches, is a men's club on a Friday morning. And initially, again, very small numbers, but a few weeks back, we had up to 12 guys coming in, which was fantastic. So it's almost like pre-evangelism work. It's just trying to build relationships and get to know guys and then take it from there. But what we have done as well, a couple of months back, we started an Alpha course. Only three people have come on the course. And last Saturday, we had our away day where we teamed up with my home church at Willowfield. And we went to Kilkeel in County Down. So only the three of us, you know, three sort of, we've actually got more helpers, five helpers on the course, and we've got three participants. But Holy Spirit Day, and it was fantastic. One lady in her 70s who comes on the course, so at the end of the last talk, then we offered to pray with people. So if they wanted prayer, we just asked them to simply put their hands out, heads down, eyes closed, etc. But this lady wanted prayer. One of the words of knowledge one of the girls had was for a knee, and a knee sort of moving in a certain direction. That was this lady's knee, so she wanted prayer for her knee, obviously. So my wife and a friend of mine prayed for her. I didn't see a reaction, unfortunately, afterwards. A lady in her 70s wouldn't have been sort of touched before, probably by sort of God healing. But apparently the amazement on her face when she started to move her knee in directions that it should be moving rather than shouldn't be moving, she was absolutely blown away. I went round and sat beside a girl who we've met through the job club, who hence has come on Alpha, has come to faith, which is fantastic. So I was hoping to see her with her hands out waiting for prayer. Unfortunately not. She told me afterwards, actually, she was actually sitting on her hands to make sure that nobody prayed with her. But when I spoke to her afterwards, I asked her, well, how do you feel? And a friend of hers had dropped dead, a sudden heart attack, only 50, the weekend before. So I said to her, how do you feel after all that? She says, yeah, really much, much lighter. Well, that was really good. And then just started this sort of, my hip. And I'm going, what's wrong with your hip? And she goes, I can't feel any pain anymore. And we're like, ooh, okay, that's amazing. So this lady wasn't even prayed for, but God knew what the need was, obviously. So really, really touched by the Holy Spirit. So that was fantastic. And another lady, who actually one of her helpers, who's got quite a lot of baggage from the past. She's only been a Christian for years. She's a back problem. Her leg actually grew out very quickly as we prayed with her. Back pain completely gone, but also a lot of emotional and psychological stuff God's working on with her too, which is fantastic. And seeing her this week, you can see God really working on her life. So I'd like to thank you all for your prayers. Really, really is much appreciated, because I say I'm sort of working a bit of a lonely furrow. But thank God there are more support coming on board, which is lovely. But your prayers are really, really valued, I have to say, because I'm not getting an awful lot from the church that employs me, unfortunately. And I'm happy to take any questions if anybody has any. I would be very happy with that, yes, yeah. I think one thing that we do have to be sort of culturally sensitive about, if we're working in unionist areas, fine, but nationalist areas, you know, the whole sort of British occupation of Ireland, etc., that sort of mindset, we do have to be very careful, you know, with that sort of thing. But otherwise, yeah, I would be certainly up for that. Yes, George. Yeah. Yeah. How did you find that? Good, yeah. Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. That's why you left. As an ex-police officer, that's probably why he dropped you at that village. He didn't want to go into it himself. Yeah, but obviously, if the Holy Spirit's working, yeah, you know, people will welcome, absolutely. But there are places, even, you know, I wouldn't describe myself as either unionist or nationalist, but there are areas because of my background, not that I'm reluctant to go to, but I know I'll just not be, if you're not from there, they know straight away. You know, you're not a local, and yeah, it can be much harder, you know, in certain places. But maybe outsiders can have more credence than us locals. So yeah. Anybody else? Yeah, well, thankfully, I have got a few people sort of coming alongside us. Even in the last month, some people, you know, getting interested, which is fantastic. But one of the first things I did when I arrived and they let me speak to the sort of the main congregation, you know, in the main church in Sego, and one of the things I wanted was for people to maybe adopt a street. So I had a list of all the streets in the estate, and particularly if people lived on the streets, you know, would you like to, could you pray for your street? Pray for your neighbours, etc. And out of, I think it was nearly 30 streets, after 2 or 3 weeks of this, I got 3 people signed up to pray. It's just a whole different mindset. They're just not used to that idea of mission, of being outside, of doing something differently. And it's only in the last month, you know, I've actually heard people sort of put figures. There's about 150 people maybe go to the main church on a Sunday. Out of that, there's a group of about 30, 40 are actually Christians. So it's a small number. And yeah, just the whole mindset of doing something outside is, it's a bit like as we would say, the Liverpool boat, it takes a long time to turn. It's very slow in turning. So yeah, it's just, but prayer is all we can do, and pray for those minds to be changed. Oh, I'd love to check, Roger. Yeah, yeah. Well, we've just finished the purpose-driven life at Sego that got me to lead that. And we started off with maybe 25, and we finished with about 8. But even out of that group of 8, there's maybe half of those who are beginning to catch the vision. Without me even having to say much to them, you know, they're coming to me and going, Jim, are the opportunities up there that we could do something? Which is lovely to see, you know, so God's definitely beginning to work, but it's a slow burner, but maybe that's a good thing.